Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
When I recently learned that some acquaintances of mine were expecting a baby, I thought about how different our response is to an appending human addition than adding a dog or a cat. Like many couples, my friends were really interested in how that little embryo and fetus was developing. They go online, they buy books, and oh, the marvelous pictures of fetal development that are available now. And they take up all this information. They want to know all about this amazing physiological process. They read about childhood development, what they can expect from their infant, from their toddler. Those terrible twos and trying threes, or is it trying threes and terrible twos? And then the fearsome and frightening fours and fives. And all of these different developmental stages and the changes in physiology and the changes in behavior that go with them. They want to know about that. Additionally, I think it's safe to say that by the time most couples are expecting a baby, they have a pretty good idea of human courting and mating process. But what about when these same people get a puppy? Oddly enough, rather than thinking about how that puppy was conceived, the role of the courting behavior, mating behavior, giving birth, or developmental changes, they are far more likely to go out and buy a book on training. Does that strike you as odd as it does me? That when we're going to add a member of our own species, we still want to know as much as we can about the process of how that being came into being. And yet, when that new addition belongs to a different species completely, who we more often than not fully expect to treat like a member of our family, we think a book on training will suffice. Now, the worst part of this is that for a lot of people in our society, a book on dog training or horse training is comparable to a book on canine or equine behavior. But although there are some training books that do touch on behavior, there are a lot more that don't. They don't consider behaviors such as courting, mating, reproductive behaviors, nursing, weaning, social structure. Not some artificial social structure that appeals to our egos, but the dynamic social structures that occur and how they can differ depending on how the animal was raised. But for some reason, that doesn't occur to many of us. It strikes me that this is kind of like expecting a baby and going out and buying textbooks about reading. And admittedly, there are those people who do that, right? No sooner do they get the child than they want to make this little, in their minds, Einstein, able to spit back the kinds of answers that make adults happy. And in some regard, that's what we do with our dogs. Our idea of a precocious puppy is one that comes, sits, stays, and holds a down command at 8 to 10 weeks of age. We believe that that is evidence of this puppy's stability and intelligence. The animal is reduced to a reflection of our needs, and the animal is judged by his or her willingness and ability to fulfill those human needs. I don't know about you, but this sounds at least unequal, if not downright backwards. recurring theme of mine is, which of us has the bigger brain? Which of us can open our own cans and bags of food and open the door to go out and come in as we please? Is it the dog? Or is it us? And if we decide that it's us, then it seems to me that we have to accept that there's some responsibility for this. If we really are more capable and more intelligent, then it would seem that it would be our responsibility to learn as much about them as possible before we would expect them to fulfill our needs.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.